We pray. Amen.
Jesus Christ, God and man. If you're going to get those chocolates, that's the verse I think that you'll need to remind your children about. Let's read it. Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. I think this verse really summarises why I believe that the Jesus of history is none other than the Son of God. Or as I'm going to refer to this morning, the Jesus of eternity, the Son of God, Jesus of eternity. God revealing himself, the eternal God revealing himself in the person of Jesus of history. Now, last week, Paul, in sharing his journey of coming to that realisation that Jesus is the essence of God in, revealed in human flesh, and that there was that loving relationship between the three persons in the Godhead, in the one God. But this morning I'd just like to explore a little more that whole sense that God became man for the purpose of revealing himself to us, to me. And there's no greater name, no greater person than Jesus in history. And we're not going to do justice to that name this morning, but what I really want to do is to just whet your appetite to just get to know him better, just to, because of who he is, Jesus of eternity, and because of what he's done as Jesus of history and what he will yet do for you as Jesus of eternity. Because it's only really as you become passionate about getting to know this Jesus that you really do find the real meaning and the real purpose of life now, and the real meaning of eternity and what it is to live a life in the ages to come in the presence of a living and a holy God. Let me just use a very simple illustration. I've got a book here. It's got two covers on it. One cover there, pointing in that direction. That's eternity past. Another book here, another cover, I mean, pointing in that direction, eternity to come. There's one little page here, got a sticker on. 30 years that Jesus walked this life. These pages here represent time. This is the beginning of time when God created everything. This is the end of time when God will do away with this earth and replace it with a new heaven and a new earth. But just somewhere in here, for 30 years, Jesus of eternity walked this earth. And what happened on that one page determined forever where you and I will spend eternity. And then over here is another little page. Just one thin page. Includes 2018. It's your sojourn and my sojourn on this earth. Doesn't seem much, does it? But the decision that you make on this page determine where you will spend eternity. And this morning we just want to look briefly at Jesus in eternity past, then I'm going to look at Jesus in eternity to come, and then I want to spend some time just to have a look at what happened on that one page, that 30 years, which determined such a great thing as where you and I will spend eternity. Because what happened on that page is just so critical for you and I to come to grips with. God, Jesus in eternity, took on human flesh and became what you and I now know as Jesus of history. And the Jesus of history is the Jesus of eternity. He enters the world that he created and reveals himself in the person of Jesus of history. And as we had up on the slide right at the very beginning before the service started, the Word became flesh and made his home among us. That's the Word, that's the Jesus of eternity, became human, Jesus of history, and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we've seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. So Jesus in eternity past, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, as Paul pointed out last week. But I just want to emphasise that one point from that Jesus in eternity past, that relationship between God the Father and this person, Jesus of eternity, God's own Son. Both are persons in eternity past, both had no beginning, yet Jesus is said to be God the Father's only begotten Son. How can that be? That's what the psalmist said. He said, "The Lord has said to me, you are my Son. Today I have begotten you." I like to think of that in sort of human terms. I'm going to pick on David again in a sec. David, where's David? There he is. I can just see him. He's trying to hide there. David, you've got a son, Harrison. Now, how old is Harrison?
Nine.
Yeah, you didn't even have to ask, Fiona. That's good. So how long have you been a father?
9 years.
That's right. So any great coincidence that you became a father at the same time that Harrison became a son? No, I mean, that's just the way it is, isn't it? Now, of course, when Harrison, a very obedient boy, but you'll find that he's already make up his mind to do things himself without asking you?
Yeah.
He does, yeah. Well, wait till he gets a bit older. Yeah, that's all. It's exactly the same in the Godhead, isn't it? That the two persons in eternity past, the Father and the Son, in eternity past, there was no time in eternity past when there was not the Father and Son. And there was no time in eternity past when there was not a loving relationship between Father and Son. And just like Harrison will make up his own mind, he is a person who's going to make decisions of his own. Jesus is a person who makes decisions of his own. One difference, of course, is that he and his Father are of the one essence, of the one mind, so he will always make decisions that are consistent with the mind and will of his Father, and that will be for eternity, that they will always be of the one mind. But they are two persons making their own decisions. And so when we come to this verse that we just read, that when he has appointed, the Father has appointed his Son heir of all things, and through whom he made also the worlds, I can just see that Jesus is saying, I was thinking that too. You know, they're of the same mind. Even before the Father appointed him to do that, Jesus had that same thought in his mind too, because they are of the one mind. And so we have this loving relationship. The key point I really want to make about Jesus in eternity past is that without beginning, always in this loving relationship with his Father, always in total agreement with him, and when the Father gave him that role of being the heir of all things and through whom he created the worlds, Jesus just said, well, you know, that's the way we think. That's the way we are. We have that same mind on that. And so it's not a case of the Father sending the Son in the sense of it was a surprise to the Son. They were thinking of the same things because they have the same thoughts about you and me. That loving relationship between Father and Son is the same loving relationship that each of them has with you and with me. So let's just move to Jesus in history. I don't think that you and I need to be reminded that when God chose to give us as human beings a free will to be able to choose between right and wrong, that we as a human race stuffed it up. And it results in the broken world in which we live now. We've all made our own share of those wrong decisions cause us to fall short of that glorious standard that God would have expected when he appointed his son heir of all things. That inheritance that his son has been tainted by sin. And so what does Jesus do about that? His inheritance is affected by sin, can't be something that can be brought into the presence of a holy and a righteous God. Instead, you know, we live in a world where God's enemy, Satan, would claim that this world is his. And to some extent, you and I agree with it, because when we sin and we make decisions that please Satan and don't please God, we're lining up on Satan's side. We are in a bondage to Satan. We are in a bondage to sin, because we are unable to live a life that is free of sin. We are unable to live a life that pleases a holy and a righteous God. And the Bible tells me that God saw that problem, and God saw that people like you and I were unable to be able to help ourselves in that situation where we're in bondage to sin. And Jesus' inheritance was impacted by that. And so what does God do when he sees this? He wants to fix this mess. He knows we can't fix it ourselves. And as the Isaiah put it in these words, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And you can just imagine God saying that. But at the same time, I can just imagine Jesus saying, well, I'm thinking the same thing. Here am I, send me. And so Jesus responding to the Father, saying, here am I, send me. But then how does the Heavenly Father send his Son, the Jesus of eternity, into a world, a broken world that you and I occupy, a world that is flesh and blood? How does he do it? And the Bible tells me something that is absolutely amazing, that Jesus of eternity left heaven and he became a babe in the womb of a virgin named Mary. That's a step that's so hard to comprehend, isn't it? The Jesus of eternity became a babe, an unborn babe, in the womb of a virgin named Mary. Let's just read that, because it's so amazing, really. Take it in. The angel said to Mary, he said, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favour with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you'll call his name Jesus, Jesus of history. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom, and of his kingdom will be no end." Jesus of eternity. And then the angel said, Mary said to the angel, "How can these things be, since I do not know a man, I'm a virgin?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Holy of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." Now, I can't comprehend that. I can't comprehend how the virgin birth was accomplished. But I do know that with God all things are possible. With God all things are possible. And I also know that his Son, in taking on human flesh, could not inherit the sinful nature of an earthly father. And so the Bible tells me that it was the action of the Holy Spirit whereby Mary conceived her son. Now that may be beyond our understanding, that how it happened. But you know, the why is not beyond understanding. The why is very simple. Because God's children are human flesh and made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood, as Hebrews 2 would tell us. Only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil, who had the power of death. And only in this way could he set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. So the Jesus of eternity entered this world for the purpose of freeing his creation from that bondage of sin, that sin that had resulted in the death and separation forever from God, because it was a tainted inheritance, and so Jesus came to set it free and to make and to redeem it so that it could be an inheritance that would be glorifying to his own heavenly Father. He didn't want to see those who were created in the image of God, as we are, those who are his inheritance, he didn't want them to see them separated from God forever by sin. And so we get this one line in this verse: when he had by himself purged our sin. Now, I'm a great fan of one-liners in the Bible because they contain such profound truth. And you could meditate on a verse, on a one-line like that forever and never get to the bottom of it, couldn't you? And there are many of them in this, in relation to this. Just take some of them, just think about them for a minute. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, said John in John 1. In 1 Peter 2 it says, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Hebrews 2:9 says, and Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. And Hebrews 10, but this man, this Jesus of history, this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. You could spend an hour driving in your car and just think about those one-liners. For God made Christ, this Jesus of history, who never sinned, he made him to be an offering for our sins so that we could be made right with God through Christ. I know that only the Jesus of eternity could do that. No man could do that. And Jesus said, shall I not drink this cup of suffering which my Father has given me? What is this cup? It is this penalty for the sin of all creation, of all his inheritance. Now we remember, as we already have this morning, that he suffered in his human body. When we break the bread and there's the juice that reminds us of his blood shed. And while Jesus' body died on the cross, he committed his spirit to him who judges righteously. And in his divine nature, this Jesus of eternity, in his spirit, he endured the desolation of hell. My God, why have you forsaken me? That's what hell is. When God forsakes someone, that's hell. And Jesus bore in his spirit all the pain and penalty there in that situation, abandoned by God. And I know that the Jesus of history has to be the Jesus of eternity, or he could not have taken all the sin of the world and dealt with it in a way that satisfied a holy and a righteous God. And I believe that even though it's beyond my human comprehension that he could do that. So that's something which is hard to comprehend, hard for us to take in. We spend a lot of time on those one-liners and not really plumb the depth of them. But there is much more about the Jesus of history that I can comprehend, because he was a man. He experienced life's journeys in a broken world, just like you and I are. And the psalmist, the writer of the Hebrews says this, that he faced, this is the Jesus of history, he faced all the same testings as we do, yet without sin. And I just want this morning for us to come on a journey to meditate a little bit on a couple of the things that happened in Jesus' life that demonstrate just this truth that he experienced the same brokenness in this world that you and I experience. I mean, there's a lot of people here this morning, and many have got brokenness in their lives. It's characteristic of our human experience, isn't it? Well, if we went to Matthew chapter 14, we would read about John the Baptist. He was a cousin of Jesus. about the same age, 6 months older than Jesus, someone very near to Jesus' heart. And Jesus said, in fact, about him that of all the people who have lived, there was none greater than John. They're almost, as I say, the same age. They probably spent some of their youthful years together, played together. And John had been arrested by Herod, who was the ruler in Galilee at that time. And for not having done anything wrong, he was put in prison. And of course, after a time in prison, he was brutally beheaded. And imagine the grief that Jesus experienced when he heard that. You know, we often see on the news someone who's experienced that grief of having lost a loved one due to the brutal actions of others. And we somewhat empathise with them, don't we? It sort of draws something out of our heart. What about Jesus? As soon as Jesus heard the news, he left in a boat, as Matthew 14 goes on to say, to a remote area to be alone. Here is the Jesus of history needing to take time out, a time of solitude to process his grief. But the crowds heard where he was headed, and he followed him on foot from many towns. And Jesus saw the crowd, and he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them, and he healed the sick. Now, as a man, and despite his grief, Jesus' heart for the people was such that he had to pour out himself in meeting their needs. These were a people from a nation who just a few years later would say, away with him, crucify him. But Jesus had a heart of compassion for them because he knew their brokenness. He knew that they were weary. He knew that they were scattered, that they were like sheep without a shepherd. They lived in a world of brokenness with broken relationships and everything. And Jesus' heart just went out to them because Jesus could say, I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. I came to give my life as a ransom for many. I came to live and sacrifice my life for those for whom they're my inheritance, and I want to redeem them. So this morning I'm really passionate about the fact that the Jesus of eternity became a man, the Jesus of history, because it's a personal thing to realise that he has that same compassion for you and for me as he showed for these people. In our brokenness, he has that compassion because he himself has experienced that same brokenness. His heart went out when John was brutally beheaded. But he still had a heart to go out for those who themselves were broken in their relationships. The second incident that I just want to refer to occurs when he's on the cross. Now, we know that on the cross he had endured severe beatings. The prophet Isaiah says that when they saw him, they were amazed at him. He says his face was so disfigured that he hardly seemed human. And from his experience, from his appearance, you could hardly tell that he was a man. His back had been ploughed, as they would say, like a field that had been ploughed, and his bones were showing, and his head had a crown of thorns, and he was held on the cross by nails in his hands and feet. But what do we find? Standing near the cross was Jesus' mother and some other ladies. And when Jesus saw his mother standing there beside the disciple John, he said to her, "Dear woman, here is your son." And he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from then on, his disciple took her into his home. I can just see this. At the cross, Jesus' mother there. And it says, and Jesus saw his mother. I can just see their eyes meeting, can't you? Jesus looks into the eyes of his mother. And he understands. This is his mother who was given those promises that he would be great, he would be called the son of the highest, the Lord God would give him the throne of his father David and so on, all these promises. But there he is hanging on a cross between two criminals. dying an agonizing death. And Jesus knows the pain that's in her heart. There's pain in his heart too. His heart goes out because of the brokenness. And he says to his friend, you know, take care of my mum, just like you would take care of your own mum. Yeah. Just enter that emotion, the human emotion of that for a moment. This is Jesus of history, the man. And in these two, what I think are traumatic events in Jesus' life, I just see the one who understands and empathises with our brokenness, whatever might be our experience. And yet he says, come unto me, all you that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. I give you peace. Christ loved us and offered himself a sacrifice for us. We sometimes just think of that in communion, but his whole life was a sacrifice, was a life lived in sacrifice as a man for you and for me. So the Jesus of eternity became the Jesus of history to show us the loving heart of his heavenly Father, a love that had been between God the Father and God the Son from eternity past. And he was showing it to us in a way that wasn't possible without humbling himself and becoming a man and enduring the brokenness of life's journey in this world, a journey that even led him to the cross. Yeah. Jesus of eternity became the Jesus of history. And so Jesus, let's move now to Jesus in eternity to come. Jesus in the eternal ages to come. Let's move to our verse. Don't forget, you've got to earn a chocolate with this one. When he had by himself purged our sins, what did he do? He sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. He took that place of honour. He is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. He does reign forever. And in the last book of the Bible, we read about hundreds of millions of angels and all of creation bowing down before the Lamb and giving glory to him. You know, and sometimes I scratch my head and I just feel that in a scene like that, I might be like that little boy sitting on his shoulders, perched up on the shoulders of his father, sort of peering over the crowd in front, just trying to get a glimpse of the royal carriage as it goes past, you know? That sort of sense of I'm insignificant in this sort of environment, in this presence of royalty. But this morning, as we contemplate that the Jesus of eternity became the Jesus of history, my mind just goes back to the words that Jesus spoke to his disciples when he rose from the dead. He said, why are you troubled? Why do you have doubts in your heart? Behold my hands and my feet, it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see me have. And he said to Thomas just a week later, he says, come on, just touch. Put your hand on the wound and put your finger on the wound in my hands. Touch me, see, handle. And when 40 days later Jesus ascended up into heaven, those angels said to the disciples, he said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, this Jesus of history, this Jesus that you know, who has taken up from you into heaven, will come in like manner as you are seen him go up into heaven. You know, there's a man in the glory. As someone has said, and it keeps coming back to me, all 206 bones of him in the glory. I mean, it's Jesus of eternity, while divine, is also flesh and bones. And it's his desire that those
who have trusted him as their Saviour, that they should be there with him to share in his glory, to be joint heirs with him, to reign with him. There's nothing impersonal or distant about that. And Jesus even now is occupied praying for you, praying for me, because he calls us friends, brothers, sisters. There's a great intimacy there linked with him. And collectively, we are called his body, his bride. There's intimacy here. And that's what I like with what John said in 1 John 1. And I like to think of this as being Jesus in eternity. That which was from the beginning, which is Jesus in eternity past, which we have heard and which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched. This we proclaim concerning the word of life. You can just see John saying, you know, we have seen him, we've heard him with our own eyes, we've seen him, and we've touched him with our own hands. This is the Jesus in eternity to come. Because the Jesus of eternity past became the Jesus of history, a man who is now flesh and bones in Jesus of eternity to come. And you and I are able to sit with him. I like these words in this verse in Ephesians chapter 2, that we've been raised up with him to heavenly realms. We are united with Christ. And God's going to show us all his grace and kindness towards us, because we are united with his Son, Jesus Christ. So why do I believe that God's Son took on human flesh? Why am I passionate about the fact that the Jesus of history is the Jesus of eternity? The same person. Put it simply, because my peace in this life depends on him being with me in all the circumstances of life. Doesn't matter what the brokenness is, because he's been there. He's experienced that brokenness. And he can be with me and take me through life. And also my eternal destiny depends on it. As we looked at those pages in the book, you know, what happened in that 30 years and what happens in 2018 or that period determines where you spend eternity. And all my eternal destiny depends on the fact that Jesus of history was the one who was Jesus of eternity. I can just say, this is your opportunity this morning. If you've never really understood the truth that the Jesus that we know about, that we read about, who was a man, but he was the Jesus of eternity in a loving relationship with his Father. And in eternity to come, he wants you and I to be in a relationship with him that is just as close. In fact, he prayed that we might be one with him and with his Father. There's a very intimate relationship. And so that's your opportunity this morning. If you haven't understood that truth, if you want to have someone who walks alongside of you and experiences the same journey that you are in terms of in a broken world, and can be one who can be your peace in that situation, then you need to understand this truth that Jesus of history is the Jesus of eternity. But it's also a bit of a challenge for us who do believe it. You know, do we live our lives in the light of the fact that Jesus, God's own Son, took on human flesh and lived a life of sacrifice so that he might show love for us? We are challenged in that verse in Ephesians chapter 5 to live a life of love as he lived, because he set that example for us. And I just want to finish with this quote from C.T. Studd. That was his motto. It's not a bad motto to take on board. If Jesus Christ, that's the Jesus of history, is God, that's the Jesus of eternity, and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. Another one-liner. And if you really absorb it, that the Jesus of eternity became the Jesus of history, that he might take on human flesh, that he might die in your place and in mine, but also that he might live a life that experienced the brokenness of this world, that he might be able to share in any brokenness that you or I might experience in our life's journey. Let me just pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you that you sent your Son. Lord Jesus, I just thank you that you came because you loved us and gave yourself for us. And Holy Spirit, I just want to thank you that you have revealed to us a truth that is beyond human comprehension, so that we might know the truth that God's own Son took our place so that we might be able to share eternity with him, because we've been freed from sin, because they're freed from the penalty of sin, because he took that penalty for us. I just thank you again. I pray that we might live our lives today in thankfulness and follow his example, as we would just contemplate that great truth that the Jesus of eternity became the Jesus of history for us. I just thank you again in Jesus' name.